You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning. If you have just joined us, the head of Sealta, Tony Canavan, is going to be back on the show. We had a chat with him, a brief chat last week, and he wanted to come back on for a longer chat, so we're going to facilitate that. So if you've an interest in the hospital services, you'll be interested in that. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Call us on 074 91 25,000. I've got a note in that says, "Dear Highland Radio, just writing a short note. We work for a well-known nursing home in Donegal. We just came across an ad that our boss had placed on the internet looking for staff. It stated that wages started at €13.75 an hour plus overtime. We were very upset as staff because we were not getting what they'd put on the advert. Staff that have been there for years were just getting €12 an hour, and that is just in the past year. Before that, it was €11 an hour. If we say anything, we are just cut down. We would love if you would read this out and see how everyone feels out there. As healthcare and working in private nursing home, we feel there's no one to stand up for us. Thank you." So they're on they're currently on €12 an hour in this facility, but there's an ad going looking for staff at €13.75 per hour plus overtime. They feel they can't speak out within the organisation that they work in, but they just want to know if what you guys out there think. So I said I would read it. Right, okay, coming up a little later on in the programme, as I mentioned, Brendan Devaney will be joining us just after 11. We will be discussing the weekend sporting action as he looks forward to the podcast this evening. So any questions in relation to that, please get in touch. Or discussion points that you want for Brendan. "Where Is My Mind is a podcast about how we can better take on the beauty and the beast that is the human mind in the head melty chaos of the modern world. Hosted by Niall Bressy-Bresson, one of Ireland's most formidable and inspiring mental health advocates. It's on in Ongreen on Theatre on Saturday, October 28th. It starts at 8 p.m, so you can check out the box office there if you would be interested. And I enjoyed my conversation with Niall Breslin not so long ago. I think he's really grown into his role, obviously through his podcast and his advocacy. So I think many people will enjoy that. Okay, now we are joined on the programme by Tony Canavan, who is the CEO of the Sealta Hospital Group. Tony, thanks so much for your time, and it's good to get a longer conversation with you. How are you keeping?
Good, thank you. Good, thanks, Greg.
All right, good to have you on board. We just heard there in the last few moments that Donegal Minister Charlie McConlogue, he's been told by the Minister for Health that the HSE has been asked to deploy a specialist emergency department team to Letterkenny University Hospital. Is that news that you welcome?
It is, of course. To be honest with you, it's news for me as well. But that's okay. There is a team working within the HSE. They visited a number of the emergency departments and a number of the hospitals across the country over the last couple of years. Indeed, actually, we've been working with them at Mayo University Hospital and indeed Galway University Hospitals at different stages over the last couple of years. So, by all means, if there's anything that can, any expertise or insights or help or otherwise that can be brought in, we'd be more than happy with that.
And what do they do? Do they sort of assess the workings of it, make suggestions, maybe make recommendations if extra resources are needed? What is the scope of that team? And I'm sorry to thrust this upon you if it's the same team that we're both talking of, Tony, and I appreciate that you're only hearing this news yourself now.
Yeah, no, that's okay. The way we've worked with them in the past, and I would expect it to be the same in Letterkenny, is that they do have they have a team who are experienced, have gone around to a number of hospital sites, so they have the benefit of seeing what has worked and what hasn't worked in other locations. They come on site for a brief initial period, meet with the clinicians, meet with the management team, meet with ourselves probably as well from the sales group, and gain an understanding of how the hospital works and what the various issues are. And then maybe make some recommendations or arrive at some recommendations, usually with the team on the ground, as to what would work well and what might work better. Sometimes that is around additional resources. More often than not, it's around using our existing resources more effectively.
Just as it relates to the commentary from consultants and the GPs, and some of the issues I raised with you in the last interview last week, Tony, do you accept that there's a particular problem, not just in the ED, but across many services at Letterkenny University Hospital? So I just want to establish where our starting point is. Do you accept that there are significant problems at LUH that need particular attention?
Yes, to answer the question briefly and succinctly, I would say yes. And I would say that the problems that we see at Letterkenny are largely associated with access. So when we, you know, when we look in the emergency department on any given day, when there are patients lying on trolleys awaiting admission, that's an access issue. Getting them into the bed, into the most appropriate location as quickly as possible, that's an access issue. And the other key access area that we also have problems at Letterkenny is around people awaiting elective procedures. And so they wait for periods of time on a waiting list before they can access the service in that way. And both of those are issues in Letterkenny. Now, I think to be fair and to be balanced in my comment, Greg, I would say that that is also true. If I was talking to you about any of the other five hospitals in our group, I would be saying something similar. And indeed, we could probably have a similar conversation around lots of hospitals around the country. So Letterkenny isn't different in some respects, but I think where it is definitely different is because of the population and it serves and where it is located. That's what makes Letterkenny different.
Okay, now much was has been made about the funding of Letterkenny University Hospital. You know the statistics yourself, sixth busiest hospital, 14th in terms of funding. And I know you don't like to compare one hospital to another, but we're just shy of half of the funding of Sligo University Hospital, which for people in South Donegal, that's their hospital. And if you just go a little bit further north, then Letterkenny is your hospital. So invariably, particularly for someone like me who lives right between the two of them, I can't help but compare them. So can you give us an explanation as to why the funding level is struck at, what, the 6,722 odd per patient compared to other hospitals?
So, and again, this is one of the areas that I disagreed with you on last week, and I'm going to disagree with you again this week, Greg. So I look very closely, obviously, at the spend of all of our hospitals, including Letterkenny, including Sligo, and all of them. So I look at them every single month, and I understand exactly what's going in and what's going out. And what I can see is that, essentially, that the spend in Letterkenny is approximately very close to the spend in Sligo, if we're making that comparison right now. This differential in funding that's described doesn't exist. The spend in both is very similar, very comparable.
Well, can you explain as to how a document can be produced that shows the funding per hospital divisible by the amount of patients that that hospital sees, and then coming up with a figure per patient? Where is the balance made up that's not shown on that sheet?
I think what again I think that how that's best explained then is if you go back to what I was saying about the population served by Letterkenny. So the population of County Donegal in excess of 160,000 people probably look to Letterkenny as their port of call when they need health services, and a smaller population looks towards Sligo, County Leitrim combined, parts of Mayo possibly, and parts of South Donegal look to Sligo University Hospital for care, and that's a smaller population. So when you divide it on that basis, certainly you could come up with a figure of that nature. But at the end of the day, I look at the bottom line each month, what's spent on each hospital, and I can tell you that the two amounts are very comparable.
Yes, of course. But if you have two restaurants of the same size and you have a budget to feed 100 covers in one restaurant and 200 in the other, I think it would be fair to break down the quality of food each person might get in each restaurant. I'm sorry to be convoluted in my example, but I mean, it's not irrelevant how many people pass through one hospital compared to another, surely.
No, and you're absolutely right in that, Greg. And when we look across like the key measures, you know, the numbers of people that turn up at the emergency department, the number of patients that are discharged from the hospital, the number of babies that are born in the hospital, for example, Letterkenny is higher on each of those measures than Sligo and indeed Mayo and other hospitals as well. Letterkenny is an extremely busy Model 3 hospital. We describe, you know, hospitals as, you know, various models, and it's an extremely busy Model 3
hospital. But it's more than a Model 3 hospital, is it not, really? It's closer to a Model 4. You have rectal cancer surgeries, breast cancer surgeries, metabolic surgeries. Is it really not worthy of a higher designation and therefore higher funding than Model 3? It does a lot of the work a Model 4 hospital does.
So I would certainly say that that Letterkenny should be funded for the level of work that it does. But I'd be slow to to jump to saying that it should be a Model 4 hospital, because that talks to the quality of the care that's provided. And it's not possible to provide that level of high-end care in too many sites. So having one model for hospital within the group is probably what the population can sustain and what's needed to provide for the needs of the population. That's in Galway currently. But what we do need to make sure is that there is sufficient funding in Letterkenny for the services that it provides.
So given the services that it does provide, in addition to what another Model 3 hospital may not provide, do you still maintain that Letterkenny University Hospital is adequately funded? Should it not have equivalent funding to a hospital at least that provides some of the services I said that it does?
Yeah, my perspective is slightly different, and it does go back to what you were saying at the outset, that I don't really like making comparisons between hospitals because there are so many differences. But if you were to ask me, do I think that we have sufficient resource, sufficient staff, or sufficient beds, or, however we describe that resource, to meet all of the needs of the population of Donegal, we don't. I'm not satisfied that we have sufficient resource currently.
Okay.
And we do need additional beds, for sure, and we need additional staff at Letterkenny Hospital in order to provide all of the range of care that that people of Donegal can reasonably expect.
So what's it going to take to deliver those? Because, I recognise there's an issue, not that it matters what I think, you do, clearly GPs do, and the public certainly do. So what does it take to get it to a point that you can look at it and go, right, okay, well, we have the quantity of staff there that we need, we have the quantity of beds. Do you know what I mean? We always feel to be lagging behind. Like, it's good that you recognise the issues, but you're also in a position of authority to sort of suggest when these issues will actually be addressed.
Yeah. So, again, not everybody would agree with this approach, but this is my approach, and I think it is an approach that does work. So I think the very first thing that all of us need to do, whether I'm talking about Letterkenny Hospital today or whether I'm talking about the wholesale, the group, the very first thing that we have to do is we have to make the best possible use of the resources that we have at our disposal. And I would, again, be very honest, in lots of respects in Letterkenny Hospital, we are doing that, but in some, we're not. There's room for improvement.
Suggestion in that, sorry to cut across you, because you say there, and it's quite an interesting point, that we have to best use our resources. We are part of a hospital group. Let's take bowel cancer for an example. We have no radiologists, so treatments and other work can't go ahead as planned because we have no radiologist. We are part of the Seattle Hospital Group. What is there, 29 radiologists in Galway? Could a few of their hours not be allocated to Letterkenny? That's an effective use of resources, isn't it? We have none. There's 29 there. We're part of a hospital group. Why can a radiologist not come to Letterkenny for a few hours at a time and facilitate some of this life-saving, better outcomes work that could be done locally?
Sure. So we do have radiologists in Letterkenny to start off with. There are two permanent consultant radiologists working in Letterkenny right now.
But what has happened is some of this work has not been able to proceed because neither were available. So sorry, I beg your pardon. I should have phrased that somewhat better.
No, you're right in the general point that you're making. While we have two permanent consultant radiologists in Letterkenny, that's an issue. We have five posts that we could fill on a permanent basis, but we haven't been successful in filling those posts as yet. So that is an issue. We only have two permanent consultant radiologists. There are practical issues, of course, in moving people around the place. So if we take somebody who's based in Galway and ask them to work in Letterkenny, assuming that they're willing, we would lose, we would lose 4 hours travel time up and 4 hours travel time back, day, of course,
There's an awful lot of 8 hours that are lost going in the other direction by regular people, Tony, with respect to you. We're talking about one individual here. There's thousands of us have to lose those 8 hours overnight stays. We've no buses to Galway. Do you know what I mean? I'm not
absolutely
trying to be overly challenging, but I perhaps wouldn't lose a ton of sleep. I know those are 8 hours that are lost in helping people. I get that, don't get me wrong, but is that a reason not to have this type of an arrangement within the one hospital group?
So, and we do, of course, we do have visiting consultants that travel, you know, all across the region and providing services in and out of various hospitals. There are consultants, for example, that travel between Sligo and Letterkenny as well to provide services there. But you're absolutely right, you know, that there is a very significant number of patients that travel from County Donegal down to the southern end of the group in order to avail of services. Now, while that's not ideal, I think it is the only practical arrangement we can arrive at in respect of some services. Very specialist services can really only be provided on one site to the quality that we want to provide them at, and we can't sacrifice that quality in order to be able to provide that service somewhere else.
Mm. Now, there are limitations, and I think you've recognised this, in areas such as cardiology, radiology, and of course the beds which we've talked about. This is leading to frustration amongst consultants and the oncology ward generally. They don't feel that they can give the right decision at the right time and the right cancer treatments when people need them. That's and you know yourself, Tony, that is life-altering, potentially life-ending. Now, when you've got the medical professionals locally feeling that hamstrung, is that not an area that you could give particular focus on? Because, as I say, in all of these conversations, we're talking about Donegal people who've been told they've got cancer, or they're waiting to find out if they've got cancer or other conditions, and they're not getting the same treatment as someone might in a different hospital, even in this region.
So, yes, is the short answer again to your question. Could we and should we put more emphasis and focus on cancer services in Letterkenny? Yes, we should, particularly on oncology services. That's chemotherapy treatments for patients that are living locally and can avail of them. Now, we already provide a very comprehensive service there, but you're right, it's a very pressurised service, and at times... at times, you know, doctors are having to make very difficult decisions about who starts and who's ready to start and who's not ready to start and so on. Now, we do, as much as possible, we do share the burden of that around the region, but that puts a burden of travel then on some patients. And really what we need to do is make sure that we have sufficient capacity to deliver chemotherapy where it's appropriate in Letterkenny to people from Donegal. And similarly, the breast cancer service that's provided from Letterkenny, that is linked closely with the service in Galway, and having the two of them linked up in that way is good from the point of view of the quality of care that's provided.
Well, with respect, with respect, only 40% of cancer patients received their chemo in line with the NCCP's own guidelines.
I think it's probably higher than that over the course of the year, but it certainly dips as low as that, and it has dipped as low as that at times. But over the, you know, on average over the course of the year, we're doing a lot better than that in terms of accessing within the.
But you're aware of delays to chemotherapy because there's no beds, literally no beds, yep. No staff, limited access to the pharmacy. So we've got, and we can dispute the figures, 40% of cancer patients. Yep. Receiving their chemo in line with NCCP guidelines. This is another, it feels like a Donegal health tax, don't get me wrong. And also, I hope you're acutely aware of the delays in chemotherapy. And you know what that must feel like to someone who has that diagnosis. They want to get on with the treatment, which they know is going to be really difficult in them. And then they're told, sorry, you know, we don't have a bed, or sorry, we don't have the staff, or sorry, you know, we can't get proper access to the pharmacy.
Yeah, so I agree with you that that it is a system that is under pressure constantly. I think our figures would normally be higher than that, would certainly be higher than 40%, but you're absolutely right. For an individual patient to be told, first of all, that they have a diagnosis of cancer, then to be told that there is a treatment path that needs to be followed, and that time is important, and then if there's any delay in that or any even suggestion of a delay, that is, of course, a significant concern for patients.
Can I ask you about radiology? I know you don't want to compare hospitals, but I can't help but do so, in that the radiology department at Letterkenny University Hospital, we used to have 6 full-time radiologists. Now we just have 2 and 3 three locums. Sligo, I know you don't want to compare, they have 8. Galway, 29. How is that in any way fair to Donegal patients who all pay the same tax, who all have, I think, a reasonable expectation of an equal level of healthcare? How is that allowed to happen under your watch, Tony?
Yeah, so first of all, I would agree with you that probably 7 is not, 7 approved substantive posts for Letterkenny is not enough, and we certainly need to look at that and see if we can increase the number of radiologists in the hospital. But I think there's another important point that we need to bear in mind, that even if we got approval for additional posts today, we haven't successfully filled some of those posts, despite having tried to recruit them on a number of occasions in the past. So the reason that we have two permanent consultants and five other posts that are as yet unfilled on a permanent basis is because we failed to recruit, and that's something that we really need to look at very closely. And I agree, we also, you know, what we would like to get to is probably a position of having 9 radiologists or something like that for Letterkenny University Hospital.
You'd be familiar with, and in fairness to the likes of the GPs and the consultants, yes, they've spoken out publicly in the last couple of weeks, but they've been making representations far long before that privately. Some of the concerns focus around what's been described as a non-functioning urology service, long delays in treatments. As I say, I believe strong representations have been made from the hospital in that regard, yet it's not there. We don't have an emergency urology service. Why?
So we have two consultant urologists currently, and that isn't sufficient, I suppose, to run a full on call service. But again, it's one of these services that must be delivered not just on an individual hospital basis, but across the region. It's not sustainable to provide a service of the appropriate quality, in all of our various hospitals. It must be that urology in Sligo, urology in Letterkenny, urology in Galway, that they're linked up and that they're operating together.
I mentioned to you in passing, but we had a brief amount of time, Tony, about surgeries and elective surgeries being cancelled and surgeons looking to catch up on those lists, offering to work weekends indeed, but weren't supported in doing so. It must be incredibly demoralising and frustrating when they want to get people in, want to get them better as much as possible, but not being supported by the very organisation that they work for to do so. Have you any explanation for that?
I haven't, and actually I'm a little bit baffled by it, to be honest with you, because in all respects and throughout, you know, pretty much since April of this year, we've been engaging with consultants across the hospital group to work weekends and to do additional lists in order to be able to tackle our waiting lists. And we've made good progress both on our outpatient and inpatient waiting lists across the group and in Letterkenny. So I'm a little bit baffled if consultants are saying that they're available to work weekends, but the hospital can't support them. So we'll certainly look at that very closely, and if that's something that people are interested in doing, that's something we'll look at.
We'll stay in the ED. Well, I'll come back to the emergency department in a second, because that's going to be the subject of this external review. But diabetes, you know, is a big, big issue. If I'm not mistaken, there's one or two, I think it's actually one endocrinologist, which again, and sorry to compare to other hospitals, that's the lowest ratio in the entire country. How is that acceptable? What can be done to address that?
And it's absolutely not acceptable. And again, if you look at a service like endocrinology, of course some of that has to be delivered through the hospital, but also a very significant part of it should be delivered through the community, and we need consultants that are based both in the hospital and community in order to be able to do that effectively. Donegal is a really good example of a county that needs that type of service and needs it to be embedded, strongly embedded endocrinology service. So what we've been doing over the last while is working with community to develop a number of chronic disease management programs in the community. Endocrinology is one of those. It does include consultant posts, and we would be hopeful that by structuring posts in that way and by putting other staff around those posts, that it becomes attractive for people to apply for the consultant posts, and then it becomes sustainable in the longer term. And ideally what we would like to see is that we end up then providing the majority or the appropriate level of care for people with diabetes in the community, as opposed to what we're trying to do currently, which is providing too much of that care in hospital.
You talked last week about the region or Letterkenny University Hospital having the highest nurses retention rate in the country. And I got a correspondence from a couple of people, well, I won't say, but anyway, I know they can't speak out, but from a couple of people that are nurses there. And they said that 12 nurses have left in the last 18 months, 16 in the ICU, 10 in orthopaedic and 12 in surgical too. A huge volume of senior nurses have left. So when you say that it has one of the highest retention rates, were you factoring all that in?
So, yeah, and of course what I said was highest retention rates within the group. I'm not familiar with the retention rates around the whole country, but I can certainly speak to what's happening across the six hospitals in our group. So nursing retention rates are higher in Letterkenny than they are in any of our other hospitals, and they have been actually for some time. And it reflects what people actually know, that you know, when people make a lifestyle choice to move to Donegal and to work at Letterkenny University Hospital, that tends to be a long-term decision. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's, we find a different profile in Galway, for example, where people are more transitory.
Yeah. We saw the Gardaí, I think it's the Gardaí, have started interviewing people as they leave. Do we do that? Like, why?
We do exit interviews, not with all staff and not maybe as systematically as we should, but we certainly do exit interviews, and we do exit interviews at Letterkenny as well. And the only point that I was going to add, our retention level, our retention levels in terms of nursing is good in Letterkenny and reflects well in the hospital, that doesn't mean that we don't have difficulty then in specific areas, particularly specialist areas like you've mentioned there, ICU, where you know it's not easy to get trained ICU nurses, you know. So we do have difficulties there, of course, and an orthopaedic specialty as well would be one of the other areas. So the general point is still true, but we do have difficulties in some areas.
Someone texted in saying, you know, we were talking about radiologists and you were outlining the travel 4 hours up, 4 hours down. They asked, could a radiologist not work remotely? I'm not sure if that's possible, but that's a question they asked.
And it's a very good question, actually, and the answer is yes, but not entirely is the short answer. So for example, some of the radiology service at Letterkenny University Hospital is delivered remotely. For example, some of the on-call services is delivered remotely, and that means that the X-ray image is taken within the hospital or possibly even in one of the new facilities out in the community, and then it is read and reported on by a radiologist who's not even in Donegal. So that is taking place currently, and some of that is possible, but you still need to have a core radiological expertise on site.
You said there was two urologists at Letterkenny University Hospital. A listener says, did one of them not stand down?
And that's correct, and is continuing to provide a limited outpatient
service. So it's not two, it's one.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Okay. So, obviously, just maybe in terms of some of my wording and the question approaches, Tony, you know, you would phrase things a little bit differently. But everything I've raised with you through the course of this interview and the last interview, you haven't disputed, you've accepted, which talks to me to a hospital in a real problematic situation. We haven't really even dug into the ED today, which has been the focus of much of the commentary over the last couple of weeks. So what can you do? What commitment can you give us that all of these things will be gone through? You know, what measures are in place? What is the action plan? What supports are you going to need for the management locally? Is there any extra funding available? You know, so we've established an awful lot of issues here in real important areas of healthcare. What commitment as the head of Sialta can you give the people of Donegal today that not only do you notice and recognise and understand the problems, but you are actually going to do something about it?
Yeah, so we haven't touched on ED in any great way. There's two patients awaiting admission on trolleys in the emergency department at Letterkenny this morning. So there are, and I think that's it's not the lowest across our group, but it's the second.
No, and in fairness, a couple of days last week it was single digit figures as well. So it's not
correct.
Doesn't happen to be this morning. But go ahead, Tony.
And the reason I mention that is because we have actually seen a period of relative stability in the emergency department in terms of the numbers of patients awaiting admission on the trolleys. It has been busy with attendance, but not huge numbers of people awaiting admission on trolleys, so that's a good thing. I suppose what I would say, first of all, is that, and this goes back to the letter that we talked about last week from the GPs, and it triggers something, I suppose, for me, that what the Sialta Group is about is working with Letterkenny University Hospital and working with everybody else that's a stakeholder in that, and the GPs would be, you know, key to that, of course, working to try and make things better. There is absolutely no doubt that it's a hospital that's under significant pressure, and we can see that, you know, that the numbers of patients attending the emergency departments is growing, that the activity in the hospital is growing. But we must first of all, as healthcare providers, work together to make sure that we're using our existing resources in the hospital and in the community as best we possibly can. And we must advocate then together on the back of that for the additional resources that we all acknowledge are required. And I'm absolutely committed to looking and advocating for Letterkenny Hospital, just as I do for every other hospital in the group. But I would say that the best way for us to do that together is by, first of all, making sure that we're making the best use of what we have.
Yeah, okay. But that doesn't... I don't feel any hope in there, Tony. Sorry. I don't...
What I would say is that
you're on the same page as all of us, but I was kind of looking to you for solutions, if that makes sense.
Maybe not so much on the same page as all of you, in the sense that what I'm saying is that that there is scope for improvement in what all of us are doing today. Mm-hmm. To make things better with what we have. Of course, we should look for the additional resources that's required, and we will do that. And I've said it, we need additional beds in Letterkenny. We need additional staff in Letterkenny. Mm-hmm. We'll chase that. But my view is that the best way to make that argument is by demonstrating that we're making the best possible use of every resource that we have currently.
And where are the gaps that we aren't doing that in at the moment? Because it's kind of a pointed comment. So what do you mean by that? Do you mean the hospital is not making... As effective use of the funding it's receiving from the HSC? What are you saying there?
Yeah, so I'm saying that all of us, including the hospital, including the sales group, if you want to put it that way, the CEO could be more effective or whatever. And I'm also saying that all of the services in the community as well could be more effective in what we do.
Like how?
And that's really important. So for example, if I say that there are 90 additional beds required within Letterkenny University Hospital, the question then that I would ask is, are we making the best use of the existing bed complement that we have? And I would say that we aren't, because we currently have patients in beds in Letterkenny University Hospital that are fit for discharge to go home or to go to some further care. We are currently providing care to patients in hospital that we know would receive better care if the services were available in the community and if we restructured the way we deliver care in the community in accordance with Sláinte Care, that would also be more efficient. And those are the types of changes that we need to start implementing, the kind of things that are within our own control to make things better for people in Donegal.
So can I ask, other than what's already being done, Tony, and other than the ongoing work that happens, within a hospital group the size of Sealta, specific to Letterkenny, what is going to happen, if anything, differently going forward to address some of the issues that we've been talking about today and the issues in the ED, for an example? Because I can tell you right now, our population is going to increase dramatically. It has by 10 to 12,000 already over the last couple of years. We are getting older. More of us are getting older, and we have kind of a high presentation, breathing issues and what have you. So we're going to see more people that are going to present for the hospital like that. So things are actually just going to go and get better. But in the short to medium, more busy. But in the short to medium term, off the back of what the GPs have said, off the back of what the consultants said, and off the back of conversations like me and you are having now, what is going to be done differently, if anything, in the short to medium term to try and balance the playing field for patients of Letterkenny University Hospital here in Donegal, if anything?
Yeah, so going back again to what I was saying earlier on, we do need to engage with GPs on how we're using our existing emergency department and our existing facilities within the hospital. So I think that's one of the first things that I'd like to do, is to engage with the GPs on the back of their invitation and their expression of interest in being involved in this process. They're at the gateway of meeting each patient, usually before they turn up at the emergency department or at the hospital itself. And so we're really interested in working with them on how we might make things better. I think within the hospital itself, we are changing how we move patients through the hospital, through the emergency department, into wards, into beds, and back out and into the community again. And we're trying to make that as efficient as we can. That is changing, and that is helping as well. And then in the more medium term, we're also working in the community and with our colleagues in the community to develop those services so that less people have to receive care in the hospital and more can receive care out in the community, in community-based hubs and in primary care centres, rather than having to present or be admitted into a hospital bed.
And I'll mention this last week, lots of people are turning up at the hospital, with twisted ankles that require stitches, that really aren't necessarily emergency cases that could probably be dealt with in a different environment. Did you reference this last week? I can't remember off the top of my head, Tony. You know, a place that takes those people out of the ED.
Yeah, so I think that's so that a minor injuries unit, yes, or something like that, a minor injury. So we have one in Roscommon, which works very, very well, and it is extremely, it's extremely busy, is probably the best way to describe it. And the number of people attending has grown for the last 3 years since COVID, grown very significantly. So could something like that work in Donegal? I wouldn't rule it out. What I would say is that we've already introduced a change in how we manage those types of patients in the emergency department, and there's a particular pathway that helps to move those patients through more quickly. If it's clear that Tony Canavan doesn't require to be admitted but does require some sort of medical attention and then discharge, we have a pathway, and we have skilled advanced nurse practitioners and consultants and doctors available to deal with those patients. That's working well. There is a review taking place of minor injuries units around the country. My understanding
You know they're working really well. I just don't understand why we can't have one up here. I mean, I've seen where they're all dotted, and it's that old Dublin-Galway line, bother shouting. Why can't we just have one up here?
Yeah, and again, I suppose one of the complications that arises with them is having good clinical governance in place, so that you know, if you take our ED, our minor injuries unit in Roscommon, that's supported by the ED in Galway, and to have that kind of outreach, you know, that's an important part of it.
And finally, Tony, and I won't delay, and I appreciate your time. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. When I speak to Sean Murphy, as the general manager at Letterkenny University Hospital, he recognises the issues, and I get the feeling, and I hope I'm not attributing the false emotions to him, that to some extent his hands are tied, even though he can't say that. I'm talking to you now, Tony, and I know if you had a magic wand, I get the impression there's quite a bit of stuff you'd want to do. I'm feeling that your hands are tied. Is that the case? I mean, why are the HSC centrally clearly not listening to the representations that you're making about healthcare on the West Coast? Can you speak to that? I mean, are you, within your role, if it's how you feel, can you say that I'm trying my darndest here to try and get decent healthcare for the West and Northwest, but they won't bloody listen to me in Dublin?
What would I say to that? What I would say is that, first of all, in a sense, all of our hands are tied, in the sense that there is always a limit on the amount of money or the amount of resource that anybody can allocate. So whether it's Bernard Glastra, CEO of the HSC, or whether it's the Minister for Health, there is a limit to the amount of money that he can allocate. And I suppose I see my job and Sean's job is to advocate for Letterkenny University Hospital to get as much of that additional resource as we can, because we know that the need is there. But the other part of our job, and I've said it earlier on, which I think is equally as important and probably more important, is to make absolutely certain that we're putting what we have to the best possible use we can. Mm-hmm. And I think as managers, and I would be, you know, it may be easy for me to come on the radio and talk to you, Greg, and say, well, God, if the lads in Dublin had only give us more money, we could do a better job. But actually, I think people in Donegal can expect from me and from Sean and from the other people that are working at Letterkenny Hospital that we're doing our damnedest to manage as best
so
we can.
Since this emerged, and it's not new, but since this, have you made specific representations on our behalf, Tony, to the head of the HSC or the health minister?
Since when? Or,
since the first GP letter 2 weeks ago.
You know,
hold on yet now, in my area here, and specifically in this area, I need more from you. Are you going to give it to us?
Yeah, and the way that we do that is we have a process through which we put forward bids to what's called the estimates process, and then that carries forward in the discussions between the Department of Health and the Department of Finance around the time of the budget, and then becomes part of our service plan for the year ahead. So our expectation is that the budget, having just been announced at the beginning of October, is that a service plan will be developed, and that our asks for Letterkenny, insofar as they can be met, will be dealt with in that.
But there is stuff you could do internally. You could look further at remote working of radiology. You could engage with the hospital about facilitating surgeons to work weekends if they so wish. I mean, there is quite a bit of stuff in here that we should be able to do internally.
And I agree with that. I think there are things that we can do internally within SAILTA, absolutely. And I agree that there are things that can be done internally within Letterkenny University Hospital. And I would agree that part of my job has to be about trying to get the most out of those.
Okay, Tony, thanks for your time.
Thanks indeed, Greg.
All right, take care. Tony Canavan, CEO of the Ceuta Hospital Group. I know a lot of you out there have a great interest in a health service, and maybe not all the answers that you wanted there, but it's important to get all this stuff on the record. I hope we touched on an awful lot of what you wanted. But the problem I have here, just before I take the break, the problem I have here is that, and I appreciate Tony speaking to us, I understand that there's only so much within his gift that he can comment on or can adjust. Whilst all this is being looked at, we have people who are, as we heard from consultants, maybe dying before they should, poor outcomes, losing organs, the stress and anxiety and fear amongst the population, the older population, their families, everyone, someone going in there with a kid, you know what I mean? That all still remains, and it's not going to go away. I wish I could influence things in such a way, or whoever could, that things would change. But what we really need is to see change, to see better outcomes, to better experiences. Because all of us, I think, is there anyone listening that's not had someone in the hospital recently and has a story? That's not good enough, is it? We can't accept that. So we'll see what's next from the GPs. They've threatened to, if they don't see action, to take it out into the streets. There's a lot there from Tony Canavan. Was there enough in there to sort of say, right, okay, maybe we don't need to take people out into the streets? Is there enough in there for consultants, junior doctors, nurses to say, oh, actually, you know what, I might look forward to coming into work tomorrow because things are going to improve? Probably not. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Thanks very much for all your calls and comments coming in so far this morning. I really do appreciate it. Caller works in the hospital and says it's not just the patients that are suffering, but the staff too. Being short-staffed as it is, but if there is a member of staff off sick, they're not replaced and they're left at a further deficit. Another caller says the chairs in the ED need to be changed. People with medical issues cannot sit on metal chairs for 12 hours at a time. And those are things, and we kind of got a commitment in that regard, those are the things you would hope sort of can be, you know, addressed to try and improve people's experience. Well done to Greg for a great interview with Tony Canavan. Thanks very much. I do appreciate it. Hi, Greg. When did it change to put them wards? I live in Inishowen, go to Letterkenny, to the ED, to X-ray, and then I sit all day. Greg, that was a great interview. Betty didn't think you would have all the figures and able to quote them to him. We can only hope he does something and not all talk, no action. Cancer and mental health patients should never have to go through ED. Can I also say women suffering suspected miscarriages shouldn't have to go through the ED either, and others. People sitting in beds waiting for investigation. Some of these people could be at home. However, they're told to stay in to get the investigation quicker. That comes up from time to time. Another listener says, so patients die as processes go on. And that's something I tried to reference before the break. Hi, Greg. This man needs to know his figures for nursing staff at LK. Not doing exit interviews is crazy. PEDS has not been mentioned. Parents need to know, as do people attending ED. My apologies if I didn't get to all areas. I just tried to get in as much as I possibly could. And also in areas where you would hope that some action could be taken in the short to medium term for staff and for patients. Independent assessment of the hospital is necessary, believes a caller. Donegal has been wrote off by government. Very simple. We've seen as a Sinn Féin area, even the two Fianna Fáil one has resigned and given up. The other one won't even chat to his local radio station. Well, he will chat to the newsroom. He just won't speak to me on this programme. He'll speak to Donal if Donal's in, but just not me. I would hope that my questions, I'm not anti-HSE, but, you know, I have to ask Tony those questions. It doesn't mean I'm anti him or anti the HSE, but those are, what else am I to do here if it's not to, when people want me to advocate on their behalf and ask questions that are relevant to their lives?